Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Show before week three of Football Friday on the Fan, and a huge one at that. We'll mix in a little bit of baseball as it's still top of mind in the middle of a pennant race. But 414-799-1250 is the phone number that you call to talk Packers football with two guys that played for the green and gold, the only show in the state with two former Packers, Gary Yellerson, Leap 36, Gary Yellerson, for Badger and Packer running back. And Gary, this is a huge week for both of your former teams, the Wisconsin Badgers. We talked a little bit about yesterday as they get ready for the Michigan Wolverines. But Steve Sparky Pfeiffer's here. He'll be at the Mecca tomorrow, or on Sunday, watching Packers and Broncos from Lambeau. And the Packers have a chance to go 3-0 for the first time since 2011 in a defense year of a Super Bowl title. I mean, it is a great time to be here in Wisconsin sports. Are you talking about the Brewers right now, if the season ended today, would be in the playoffs? Packers, chance to go 3-0. Badgers undefeated as well. And, oh, by the way, the Milwaukee Bucks have the MVP reigning down supreme. What a year. 414-799-1250. Gary, there's got to be a lot of confidence for your Green Bay Packers going into this weekend's game against the Denver Broncos. For you, what is at top of mind as we open up Confident, Concerned, and Curious on a Football Friday, as we always do here on the Wendy's Big Show?
Well, I think I'm fairly confident that the defense will show up and play again as well as they played for the last two previous games. I think they're for real. Well, I know they're for real. What you're trying to do is trying to gauge how for real they are. I mean, like, you're trying to figure out, like, are they like Minnesota or are they like Chicago? That's what you're trying to figure out. But right now, they're playing good team football defensively. So I'm fairly confident that they're going to hold Flacco down, and I'm fairly confident that Joe Flacco is on the list, Billy, and that means that Joe Flacco is going to give you three opportunities to get one. And I'm thinking that they get all three.
All three this week?
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
A turnover machine.
Yeah.
Because they've been flirting with it a few times this year.
They've had an opportunity, I think, in every game here to get at least three picks. And I think, didn't Kevin King drop one against Chicago?
In Chicago, yep, on a third down.
He dropped one. We got one there, too, didn't we?
Mm-hmm, by Adrian Amos in the corner of the end zone.
Did we get two last weekend?
Preston Smith and Kevin King's in the end zone last week.
And Jair dropped one. Mm-hmm. So they gave you these jokers are on target to get at least three picks a game. I think they get it this weekend against Joe Flacco.
Five turnovers already forced by the defense. They've taken the ball away five times. They took the ball away 15 all of 2018 under the same defensive coordinator. Sparky, let's start with your confidence in the Green Bay Packers. Where does it lie going into Broncos-Packers up at Lambeau this weekend?
I think when you look at where we are, 2-0, with that Eagles game coming up on Thursday night, it's going to be a short week. I think they're going to try and make quick work of this thing. So maybe they can rest some guys there, maybe in the fourth quarter, something along those lines. So I think I'm confident Rodgers throws three touchdown passes this week, at least. I'm not as confident that Aaron Jones.
At least
three. I could throw five. But I'll say three touchdown passes this week. I'm not as confident in Aaron Jones having the same type of game as he had last week as far as the amount of touches he's going to get, rushing opportunities and so forth. After them talking about trying to even up the carries, I'm not sure how that's going to affect Aaron Jones, so can't go there. But I am confident that the future MVP 2019 will get going this week.
Gary, the thing that Stevie brings up with Aaron Jones is definitely in the minds of Packer fans, and it was
that?
because of the comments made by Matt LaFleur, and then Rob Reichel was on our show a couple of days ago, mentioned that they're going to try to even up a little bit more of the touches between Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. And then yesterday, Ryan Wood's piece on PackersNews.com kind of alluded to the Packers definitely wanting to have a little bit more of a split in terms of touches between those two guys. How do you see that as a former running back in the NFL as we sit here just week three, and they are going into a short week against the Philadelphia Eagles, and trying to maintain that health and limit the carries on both, or at least evening them out in a week like this?
I think it's a fluid situation. I think that it's – you, Billy, you know this. You have a plan when you go in a game how you want something to be. I liken this to Budenholzer, and that will be – don't take the mid-range jump shot. But if you're open, you probably should take it.
You got to get points when you can.
But my base is, I do have a base. I mean, I do have a guideline of how I want things to work as a coach. But it's got to be a fluid situation. I really want to go off tackle over here to the right, but they shut it down. Should I just run into that guy? Or I see a hole over here to the left. Should I take that one to the house for 60, or should I run into that guy? Because I know that's where it's designed to go. So I think everything is fluid. I think Aaron Jones is the guy. I think he's the hot guy. I mean, he's the guy they want to lead with. He's the lead dog. But I think you got to err on the side of caution in that the guy hadn't been healthy, and that's been his thing. But when you got a hot guy, you got to ride the hot guy. I think he knows that. I think that's how – I mean, it's – there is some gray. It's not all black and white, but there is some gray. I mean, when you get to go take a play and you work on this particular play, then all of a sudden it's not, you don't get the front that you thought you were going to get. You sometimes you got to be creative and innovative to do other things inside that. And I think that's okay. So I think they may go in. He might want to even the carries out, but I don't blame him. Because of what Aaron Jones has shown you. So I think it's okay. One is coach speak. Okay.
Sure.
The other one is, I do think, though, that they do. I just don't think Aaron Jones, to me, what did he get, 27 touches?
Yes. 21 carries and 6 out of the backfield.
Yeah, I don't think he can do 27 touches for 16 games.
This was Matt LaFleur on the subject of trying to split the carries, even them out between Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones moving forward.
Well, you know, all I know is this. It's a long season. And went through this a little bit last year in terms of feeling like we wore one of our guys out. And I do not want to put our team in that position moving forward. Now, granted, in the heat of the game, if one guy's got the hot hand, you're gonna ride that hot hand. But you'd like to be, especially in that first half, a little bit more balanced to preserve not only for the rest of the game, but for the marathon of a season that we have.
And that's a dude that has gone through calling plays, yes, for 1 year in Tennessee, and the offense sputtered at times, and we saw that offense last night be putrid on Thursday Night Football. We'll get into that a little bit more later on. But feeling like he wore one of his guys out last year and didn't have peak Deion Lewis to complement Derrick Henry in the backfield last year in Tennessee, seeing early on in the game if we can even it out going forward, then into the second half, saying, if I got a hot hand, I'm going to go with a hot hand. And that would be okay. One thing that I'd be curious about. I believe Matt LaFleur when he says that. I don't know if maybe that's just me being a little bit blind loyalty, but I believe that he's speaking what he believes.
And more times than not, Aaron Jones is going to have the hot hand.
Right.
So he's going to have to figure that out as you go along. But I just don't know any coach that – it's just me. But you why do you bench a hot shooter?
Right. Well, we had to give him some rest. We had to make sure that he was rested up.
I mean,
they don't do that very often.
Because let him go.
And especially the way that they're going to move and flow right.
But you do. You just have to be mindful and careful of Aaron Jones' touches. You just do. I mean, and especially, though, in this – you got a stretch right here – these last, what, three games you're playing?
Three games in 11 days,
yeah,
all at home.
And that's tough. I think that stretch more than itself is pretty tough on a guy like Aaron Jones. Really, on all these guys, is really tough. Listen, you know, I find the game kind of funny in ways that back when I played, I think we had one guy, and that was the refrigerator Perry, who was like over 300 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to make that guy lose weight. I mean, it just was a phenomenon. There wasn't a lot of guys in the NFL that was over 300 pounds that could do the things. Now it's commonplace.
Yeah, now everybody has 10, 11, 12
and
dudes,
these guys
300
are,
pounds.
These guys are bigger, faster, and stronger than they've ever been. It's just, if you can ever get a chance to maybe get on a sideline, a high school game, any game, high school game, college game, pro game, and if you're down there and you feel the hit of the way these guys hit, and you're like, yeah, I don't know. I asked myself, I don't know how I did that. I must be crazy.
Well, it takes a little bit
of
a
craziness. You know what I should have been doing, though, Steve? I should have been hanging out with Calvin Johnson.
But my question is this. So you say that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when Leroy goes back, does he say the same thing? Or does he go, yeah, this is how hard they were playing when I played? Does he have the same reaction? Because he played, what, a decade after you or a few years after you?
Is that the same reaction as what?
As far as you, like, was I crazy to play this game?
I asked myself, yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
But does it seem as fast to Leroy as it does to you? Because you guys played in kind of different eras, I guess.
I mean, I don't know. We have to ask Leroy that question.
So he's never said it to you then one way or the other?
No, but he'll say it to us in about 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, he's going to leap in here as he always does with Carlson, Blau, and Clemens. Yeah. First, let's hear from your guys at J&J Contractors. Yeah. We'll get into a phone call, and you can line up right now at 414-799-1250.
My good friends over at J&J Contractors, guys, when you call them up, ask for my good friend Jason. Guys, you're looking to do something to the interior of your home. That's like, you know, you want to redo your kitchen cabinets. You want to redo your countertops. A lot of people go on those granite countertops now in their house.
Yeah.
You guys ever know
all those TV shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Fixer Upper and all that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all doing that. I mean, and a lot of people now these days they're extending their kitchen. I don't know if you guys have found out, like, when you have a party at your house, where do most people congregate at?
The basement.
No, the kitchen.
Or the garage.
Old people. Now I'm talking about people.
Oh, okay,
with money.
Yeah. There's usually more chairs there.
I'm talking about people with money. They mostly go in the kitchen, and a lot of people are expanding their kitchen.
Good
now,
idea.
If you are a young couple, no kids, you're probably still thinking about partying in the basement because that's a thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Put a little bar down there,
TV
or so.
Y'all need to stop. They're knocking down walls, making open concept. Kitchen looks into the living room.
That's what everybody's doing.
Walls separating
now.
Kitchen and living room, those are done. Those days are over.
Yeah, that's what
nobody wants
doing
them
now.
Anymore.
Everybody's knocking out the kitchen, knocking out those.
And then making the kitchen bigger.
Bigger. Because everybody wants a bigger kitchen. Now, like I say, if you were a little younger, right, and you and the wife just got married, you've only been in it for about a year or so, you guys, you know, ain't nothing looking to have kids for another 10, 15 years, you might want to do the basement.
You're not waiting that long, are you, Billy? 10, 15 years?
What?
Yeah, call my good friends up today and ask for J&J Contractors and ask for Jason.
Za'Darius Smith treated the team last night to dinner. He told our guy, Rob Domofsky. One guy walks up to him and says, Z, what's the limit? He said, there is none. Bill was about 5,000 at the Republic Steakhouse or Republic Chop House in Green Bay. Gary, is that a good spot that Z took the team to last night?
That's a good looking spot.
Okay. Guys, we're 2-0, but we haven't arrived. But one thing, I'm going to take all of you out to dinner tonight to do the little things like that. That's Za'Darius Smith. So that works out very well. We'll hear from another guy that could afford to take his old team out to dinner, Leroy Butler. He leaps into the studio next. You can take a phone call here at 414-799-1250. You're confident, concerned, and curious. Going into week 3, Packers and Broncos with the Big Show.
People see his stature. He's not the 220 pounds. He doesn't look like Derrick Henry. You know, I mean, just because he doesn't look like that doesn't mean he can't manage that type of workload. He's more than capable, and he can be in there on third down, too, and pass protect. I think everyone saw that clip he had on Harrison Smith picking up that pressure, and he can do all of that and do it very well. And then if you get him out against a linebacker in open space and throw him a ball, he's probably going to win that matchup.
That's Brian Bulaga on Aaron Jones. That's some high praise from a dude that's seen a lot of football and seen a lot of good running backs. Brian Bulaga here on The Fan. This is the Wendy's Big Show, 414-799-1250. Before we get to our concern into week 3 of the Green Bay Packers against the Denver Broncos, and I'm going to be completely honest and upright here, there's not a whole lot that I'm concerned about outside of 58 and 55. Right? Like, those are going to be probably the two that I think might be a consensus. Let's grab our guy Phil in Chicago here at 414-799-1250 first. Phil, you're on The Fan.
up, boys? How's it going?
Hey, what's up, Phil?
What up? Is Leroy, did he hop in yet?
No, he's not.
No, he hasn't left in yet.
Okay. I'm confident in the defense, of course. I think they'll be able to hold them to under 14 points. I'm also confident that we'll get a win. I think we'll roll like 35-13 because I had a chance to listen to a little Denver Bronco radio in Denver, and they don't have any confidence in this team at all. I mean, they think they'll get rolled. I mean, they were talking about how the locker room was so, you know, depressed and upset and all this other stuff, and they just didn't like the vibes there. So I'm confident we're going to win. I mean, we're the better team. I mean, clearly. The only concern I have, it's not Von Miller and the and Chubb. It's actually the running backs, just a little bit. I mean, not very concerned, just a little concerned. But I think we'll have that under wraps. I'm curious to see what Darius Shepherd, if he gets involved in this this offense this week. Also, Tanyan, I don't want Graham to play after all these Twitter, you know, all these Twitter tweets of Graham missing blocks and being lazy and all this other stuff. I don't want to see Graham blocking anymore. I don't even want to see him on the field, quite frankly. Mm. I want to see Leroy's guy, Tanyan, you know, be incorporated and actually play, you know, play some reps in this game. So I feel very confident in all the Wisconsin teams for that matter. So, 35-13, and let's keep rolling.
Appreciate it, Phil. Now, 35-13 would be a little bit higher than I would expect, especially with the 43 being the over-under mark for the Green Bay Packers. But that's a clear and easy cover by the Packers. And what they say is good teams win, great teams cover. That would be 3 out of 3 for the Green Bay Packers. Leaping into the studio now with Carlson, Blau, and Clemens, as he usually does. Leroy
Who
Butler.
Told you that about that's what they say?
What?
What about the cover thing? Would you hear that? With Tim?
No, good teams win, great teams cover. That's why you can bank on the New England Patriots probably covering the 22.5 against the New York Jets this week. It's a wild situation, but that is what it would be. And if they're not going to drop the ball, and like Carlson, Blau, and Clemens, if you're injured, don't drop the ball, make the call. Attorneys Carlson, Blau, and Clemens. Leroy Butler in the house. Leroy, let me hear it. What are you most confident in seeing from your Green Bay Packers this week against the Denver Broncos?
Well, I tell you what, when you're talking confident, this is an uncommon opponent, AFC opponent. You don't play these teams a lot, so it's not a whole lot of tendencies and books on these. But not to mention you got a new coach anyway on both sides of the ball. I guess I would be confident is that Devontae Adams – because Chris Harris Jr. is going to be on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a certain way you got to play against him. Otherwise, he's a little aggressive that Devontae can put up a career day on him.
A huge day.
Yeah, I'm saying like 150, 3 touchdowns, something like
that.
There's my 3 touchdowns from Rodgers.
There would be all 3 of Steve's touchdowns from Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, now if they – see, Vic Fangio, sometimes he get a little cute, sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they don't like to, they just play coverage. Sometimes he'll just take you away, like have Chris following him around, and then the safety will just kind of over top, like we used to do Randy Moss, but it still didn't work. So if he sticks to just rushing forward, then Devontae gonna have a career day. Career day. But if he got 2 people on him, then maybe not. But as I studied this team, both sides, I'm thinking that he can have a great day. And I think Vic Fangio, I think he's going to just rush forward, if I had to guess.
Mm-hmm.
Rush for occasional 5. There's no need to heat him up if you got 2 ends going after the quarterback like that, unless you feel like the Green Bay Packers are going max protection or sliding the protection. Then you got to bring a little bit of heat.
Sure.
You can't just have Aaron standing back there holding the ball, although he will hold it anyway. But so I'm really confident Devontae. Nobody can bump Devontae out and brought the ball.
A lot of people have tried to, and nobody's been able to do
can't
it.
Can't do it at the best
the size
feet
and speed,
in the NFL, and that's not media bias, that's not brother bias, nothing. Go look at everybody's feet, not their body, their feet. He has the best feet in the entire NFL. So you don't believe me? Look on some of these other pages of some of these cornerbacks who've tried to go up there and bump him. So sometimes they just come off of him a little bit, and they try to double him. But if he go up there and bump and run him, he's going to be open immediately. Aaron got to get in the ball, and you can see him out. He's out of the gate.
I want to see Aaron get the football out quickly, Gary, as we've talked about it on this show a lot this week because of the two ends, and that's what I'm concerned about.
Well, rightly so. And so, you know, Von Miller or Chubb, neither one of those have a sack coming into this game. And the reason why they don't have a sack coming into the game, because the two opponents they played, the quarterback has been boom, 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 gone.
Derek Carr was something that we did not expect on that Monday night game.
The last two games, really quarterbacks have been getting rid of.
But Trubisky was the other one.
Yeah, they've been getting rid of the football. And Trubisky, you know, he had an awakening because they tried to ask him about the Packer game. And he didn't want to talk about it, so he knew.
Not allowed to.
Hey, I like that when a guy toes the company line.
That's kind of what's been happening with them. Is the last two games, quarterbacks been getting rid of the ball. Now, we'll see what
he's going to do again.
You have to see what Rodgers going to do. I mean, how many sacks did he was there last week?
Last week against the Vikings, Rodgers took a total. Now, he did get hit a few more times, but he took two sacks and lost 18 yards.
So, I mean, you figure Leroy, he's good for another two or three.
I would expect both of those guys to get to him one time.
But you know LaFleur is all over him. He's got to be.
You would think. Especially his quarterback's coach.
Yes. So here's the thing. If he come out of here clean with no sacks, then you know that he's listening to coach. Because that's why LaFleur jumped at him on the sideline, because somebody was open. He wanted him to throw him to the open guy.
Give it to him.
Give it to him.
So this could be the litmus test that we've been looking for if he's listening.
I want to tell folks, y'all can call in if you want to, 414-799-1250. I want to tell folks this, because you'll have people calling in talking about everybody's covered, nobody's open, because guys are open. But here's a couple things about Rodgers. One, he doesn't really throw you open anymore.
Can you explain that to him a little bit?
Man, Jordan Nelson made a field day off of that.
Okay, so like the risk to make you open.
Yeah, he doesn't throw you open anymore.
In the next window.
Yeah.
First he one is closed.
He doesn't. We saw it a little bit. Now, the one he threw to Geronimo Allison threw him open.
Mm-hmm.
The one he threw to Jimmy Graham, a touchdown, took a chance. But there were 12 guys on the field on that particular But those are the things that what he has to do is throw guys open, just anticipate, or just give him a 50-50 ball. So when he start doing that and stop taking sacks, you know that now he's listening to coaching.
What are you most concerned in seeing this weekend, Gary?
Well, much like you, will this offense it continue to grow? And will he get rid of the football when he's supposed to on time? Because if he does that, they might blow these jokers out.
It might be quicker than it even was last week.
Yes.
And be able to give the parting blow.
And then Flacco throws three picks.
Man, that would be so sweet.
That's how that works.
That is how it works, because he tries to chase, and then he starts throwing that deep ball, which is really his biggest bag trick that he has in his game. Stevie, for you, what are you most concerned in seeing this weekend?
I'm concerned about Elgton Jenkins getting his first ever start against this Denver defense.
My boy, 74, baby.
Ain't it funny how yesterday we're talking about rotating him in like defensive lineman. And I said on the air yesterday, I bet you by week 8 that dude's starting. That's what this is all about. Even last week 8, it's the very next day he's the starting left guard.
Hey, listen to the big show, Steve.
Sure. Then you got Lane Taylor.
Radio.com app, they got it.
Now, let's not be stupid, Packers, okay? Let's not trade Lane Taylor now because Jenkins plays well this week against Denver and trade away any depth that you have.
What can we get?
That's what I'm concerned is going to happen next. He plays well against Denver, holds his own, doesn't give him any big sacks.
Yep.
Oh, we're good. Okay, Lane, it's been real. See ya. We're going to trade you to Miami. I mean, first, that's not fair to him to get traded to the Dolphins. Second,
you're right.
Right. Second of all,
so who on the Dolphins do you want? Maybe we should look at their roster.
He didn't do anything wrong to get traded to the Dolphins, but just be nice to the man if you're going to trade him. I'm concerned about Jenkins. That's where my concern is. Going up against a Vic Fangio defense, your first ever start. Mind you, if he sucks, they're going to be able to put Lane Taylor in there, who will be able to hold his own at least. But that's where my concern is. You don't want any holes on that offensive line against this defense of all defenses. You know, if you're playing, you know, Miami or Tampa or somebody like that, then I don't worry as much. But this defense you choose to start the rookie, you could have waited, got through Philadelphia, and then made your decision of what you wanted to do. I'm just not so sure I would have started him in this game, but that's where my concern is. Left guard, and seeing if he can hold his own against his defense.
Damani is in Tosa. He's up on the fan at 414-799-1250. Hey, Damani.
One of my favorite steaks, of Damani.
Hey, what's good, y'all?
What's up?
Hey, I'm concerned about Brian Bulaga getting ate up by Von Miller. I'm really concerned about that.
Bulaga's played really well, man. He's played really well the first 2 weeks.
Northside.
Huh?
Bulaga's played really well the first 2 weeks.
But, man.
Man, that sounds all good.
Hey, Damani.
It's good.
Damani.
He's telling you, yes.
Yeah, Damani's still there.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Where you get your hair cut at, cuz?
Oh, I get my hair cut at Black and White on the east side, cross street.
Oh, east side. Okay.
Oh, Black and Mild, you say?
Black and White.
Oh, Black and White.
Black and White. Yeah. No, Black and Mild is the morning pill.
Oh, is that what it
is? No, it's not. No, it's a cigar.
Damani know what it is.
Yeah, it's a good morning after.
What?
The Black and Mild is a cigar.
Wakes you up in the morning.
That's a whole other conversation.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Thanks for calling. Yeah. I love that phone call. That makes me feel like I was at home. I love that.
414-799-1250.
I'm concerned.
He could get eaten up, though, by Von Miller.
That's amazing. I love that. That's how we used to talk on the playground.
Yeah, you ate up.
And again, the turnstile. I mean, that's basically what he said. If you just giving Aaron just problem. Remember that Von Miller, I mean, that guy got a huge contract after that Super Bowl because that guy's amazing. But his style is different than 52 in Chicago and 99 in Minnesota. It's
for sure
totally different. It's a combination of both. And he's smart. Don't throw a screen to his side. He'll intercept it. But my concern would be two people that now the community of fantasy are going to know these names. Locally, you may not. The first would be Emmanuel Sanders. The guy is truly amazing. Number 10, this guy is good in the slot. They put him everywhere. And out of all those receivers who've been there the last few years, he's the same guy that's still there they like to keep and brought him back for a pretty good contract. That's their go-to guy. So I don't know if Jair is going to be on him or King. But he's very active. He's fast. He's everything you want. And I am concerned about that. The other guy is Philip Lindsay. This guy is not leading this team in rushing. Freeman is. And Freeman is a bigger guy, 6 feet. Philip Lindsay is small.
They split carries,
fast,
though.
And quick.
He can move, man.
Quick as a hiccup. I mean, the guy's amazing. After what Dalvin Cook did on these cutbacks, you have to cut back, seal that off. If not, if he gets gone is gone again. If he's in the secondary, it's a wrap. So you got to keep him, you know. Now, it'll be a good game for Oren Burks to be there to kind of just shadow him and cover him if he motions out of the backfield because they like to throw it to him as well. But, yeah, those are my two concerns. Emmanuel Sanders and Philip Lindsay. That guy's amazing, man.
So for Emmanuel Sanders, quickly before the break, when we'll get into Curious on the other side, he is. He's got speed
shifty
all over the place.
I'm telling you,
who
man
would match up better against him? Would that be Jair Alexander?
I don't even know. That's the thing. I think then, Leroy, if it works out, then 21 Savage should have at least two picks.
Sure, because they're going to try to go over the top.
He
to
need
him
to be in Savage.
Well, I don't know.
Who's over the top, Leroy?
Well, 26 would be over the top. He's the deep guy. But see, Pettit got to do what Gary always say. Don't be the smartest guy.
No.
Just double him and make the other guys not font, you know, tight end. Mm-hmm. He's been around a minute. Let him be the hero and the other guy. Just take 10 away. Don't try to get too cute in playing your defense. Your defense is only as good as your players. Each week, your defense changes. I would never let the number one guy beat me. Jared Rice ain't going to beat me. Taylor, go ahead, catch 150 balls. But it won't be number 80 for San Francisco. Now, sometimes you just
he's just
do
good.
He's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like if Hader throws a fastball and their best guy hits it out, I ain't mad. I'm just mad when the guy in the eighth hole knock it out. That's when I'm mad. So my thing is, don't get too cute. Just go ahead and double him whenever he's in the slot. If he's out wide, hey, do your thing. So that's a fluid situation right there altogether. So you would think that Jair would match up better with him because they're kind of the same size.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy's quick, man. He's quick. Don't look in the backfield. I tell this guy over and over again, especially Sam Shields, the only guy who used to get away with it. Gary, remember we used to tell him, don't look in the backfield on that first fake. You look here, that guy's gone.
Yeah.
Don't even look at the quarterback.
He did don't have the even, wandering eyes, didn't he?
Charles Woodson.
Don't do that. Yeah, you can't. No, he's the only guy. Do what I say, not what I do. That's what Charles, that's how he coaches. Stay out of the backfield. You got 10 other guys to take care of that. Keep your eyes on your guy. If you see his name, you're on SportsCenter.
Steve, you're shaking your head.
I love LeRoy.
I'm just trying to keep it 100, man. I'm glad they're trying to do all that. Man, get 15 balls on you.
I think we're making Emmanuel Sanders out to be way better than he actually is.
Okay. No, let him do that.
No, I'm going to do that.
Let him do it.
But he's a deep threat.
Sure, he's a deep threat.
That's because you don't know.
But he's not Jerry Rice. He's not Randy Moss. He's not anything like that. He's a second-tier wide receiver in the NFL right now.
Maybe third.
Who's their best receiver?
But on their team, he's Jerry Rice.
Right. But I'm just saying, on their team, yes, he's their best receiver.
He's the go-to
guy. Not saying that, but I don't know. I don't think they got to double him necessarily one way or the other. But
if you're in that slot, you're better.
Okay, for me, if we're going to talk about this defense and you poo-poo Noah Fine, for me, considering the history of our defense covering tight ends, that's a concern for me.
Well,
that guy that could stretch the field.
Let him do it.
Down the middle. That Noah Fine guy, he can do that. He can stretch the field on you.
You got a better chance of covering him than number 10. Straight up.
Yeah, no doubt, because you got a much better chance to get to Flacco in the backfield than to let
Fine
beat you.
He ain't no joke. Just shut him down. Make the other guys a hero, because other guys may faint under pressure. He ain't.
He's not going to. He's been able to play in those spots.
Make the other receiver, whoever. Yeah, well, I got numbers on, but who wants to hear? Steve, I'm going to tell you what, most people are listening, are just like Steve. Never heard of this guy.
Oh, I've heard of him.
Really, no, I'm saying most people, if you don't play fantasy, this guy, no way he should catch balls on these guys. We got the best two tandem corners in the league. That's what everybody's been saying. Until you play a group that you don't really see. Because I'm going to tell you something. Marvin Harrison, ask Doug Evans about Marvin Harrison. Man, this guy quick, went to Syracuse.
He ain't Marvin Harrison either.
Wait, I'm just giving you a point. That's the point I'm making. Wait, we ain't getting no big old dossier on him about one page. Hey, man, he's just fast. That's it. Man, that man put up a career day. Hit his head on the goalpost. That taught me a lesson. We got beat. They had not won a game. Paul Justin was the quarterback. We're the Super Bowl team.
I was there.
We got our tails kicked because we underestimate people.
Sounds like you can't
do it.
Leap, sounds like you're saying this might be a little bit of a trap for the Pack.
Hey, man, you want me to do my things?
No, not today. You want me to do my things?
If you don't want no lie, don't ask me.
3 o'clock.
Ben Fennell joins the big show in 10 minutes. We're back well before that. Show on the Fan. Ben Fennell's here in 8 minutes from right now. We're talking Packers football with you as they go up against the Denver Broncos. 414-799-1250. Let's get to Ty in Philly. His confident, concerned, and curious as you can as well at 414-799-1250. Ty in Philly. What's going on, man?
What's going on, guys?
T.Y.
What's up, 36, man?
Hey, let me get your take on the old Jay-Z thing with the NFL. What did you think about that? What did the culture say up there? Because I know they got HBCU week and all that going on and stuff like that. Has that come up? Anybody talked about the Jay-Z deal with the NFL?
Yeah, the Jay-Z thing, a lot of people think that Jay-Z is kind of being fraudulent because, you know, he was telling people not to work with the NFL over the last couple years. And, you know, they came out with the Jermaine Dupri. And he said that he just had told Jermaine Dupri not to take the deal. He took the deal. So a lot of people think that Jay-Z is fraudulent.
Well, he'll get a chance to prove it one way or the other. What you got, my brother?
All right. So I want to give a shout out first and foremost to the one and only Steve Sparky Feister. And that's for two reasons. He just seemed like the most reserved, confident Packers fan for this season. I had him at 12 wins. I think he had him at something like 13.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's been a little sarcastic with the 13, but He definitely playing a confident reserve fan this year, so I got to get.
No, he ain't reason. Sarcastic with 13 because he believed the 13.
Oh, all right, well.
Yeah, he all over that. Yeah, he all over 13.
The second thing is that I've heard him for the last 2 years ask to put 30 and 33 on the field at the same time. Mm-hmm. We got a touchdown out of that last week. So he was the first person I thought about when I seen that play. But I'm going to give my prediction. I like the Packers 27-10. 3-0, guys.
3-0 is
next week, Philly.
That's for sure. That's going to be one heck of a game. Appreciate it, Ty. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so excited for the game next week. Like, you get a 3-0 Green Bay Packers, which everybody seems to be walking into this game believing the Packers are going to roll, right? Like, Jeff is here saying, confident the Packers win by 10 or more, always concerned about injuries to key players, and a quick turnaround Thursday night. Curious to see if Jake Kumerow gets more involved in the offense. Like, we're talking about a fourth-string wide receiver possibly getting more into the game. Like, how are they going to divide carries to keep guys fresh? This feels like everybody is already looking to Thursday night.
Yeah, I mean, when you start mentioning Jake Kumerow, you want him to get,
You're starting to look ahead. That's a weird feeling to
Jake,
me.
Jake had a great preseason, don't get me wrong. And he's in the NFL for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. I think his time is coming. He'll get some.
He's not the dude that you should be looking at if this game is top of mind for every single Packer fan going.
They got like 3-4 guys ahead of him right now.
Well, it's your favorite. It's your favorite. Let's be honest. It's your favorite. Like, I've been wanting to see Tonyan for a while. He's fourth string. If Jake Sternberger was here, he'd be fourth string.
Yep. Sure.
So you like a guy, you like a guy. But it had nothing to do with the game plan, though.
What are you most curious, quickly, before we get to Ben Fennell, to see possibly in the game plan this week, Gary?
Well, I think I'm really curious about how they are going to divide up the carries, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really am. Because I think it's an issue. It's only an issue because you've got so many games in so short of a time.
The three games in 11 days makes it an issue.
So I am curious about that. So I think, in effort to save him or to save Aaron Jones, maybe you don't see him in the backfield together as much as you did the first couple games.
Sure.
I mean
that could make a lot of sense.
Second game, to divide it all out. Because that's really the only way you can do it.
And you've made the point multiple times about the changes in the rule structure on offense taking care of pretty much every other player outside of the running back in pro football. Like, the running back's position is still as physical as it's always been.
That's still the one that's still archaic.
Yeah.
Because you still can hit him at any time you want to.
Ben Fennell's film breakdowns are far from archaic.
@BenFennell_NFL.
He breaks down the green and gold film-wise. He joins us next on The Fan.
We're trying to go 1-0 this week, and that's the sole focus, and that's got to be the sole focus each and every week. I think this league is extremely humbling. As soon as you start reading what people are writing about you and feeling good about that, you get humbled quickly. So we're focused on, like I said, going 1-0 this week.
That's a true head coach statement.
Oh, that's straight coach speak. 1-0 each week.
Serious. Every time I got torched, which is only once, it was a headline. Oh, this man, some no-name tight end gave
Jay
me some
Novacek
work.
Jay Novacek or something?
No, I'd lock him down. It'd be a no-name guy. Reading all these players, camping them, all that, and just get just worked over. How did that happen? Reading my Clippin.
So, like, you were reading Ben Fennell's film breakdowns of what you were doing.
I wish Ben was around.
If he would have been doing it, he would have been able to help you. Ben Fennell breaks down NFL film better than anyone about your Green Bay Packers. Follow him right now @BenFennell_NFL. Joins us Fridays 2:48 talking Packers football. Ben, appreciate the time as always, man.
Always. That's all my film articles are trying to do. I'm just trying to help you break it down just a little bit, you know?
So can you help me break down why Von Miller and Bradley Chubb haven't gotten to the quarterback yet for a sack?
Well, full disclosure, I haven't been too deep in the Denver Broncos film in 2019, but I know they're talented edge rushers, and just when they may be quiet for a week or two, I'm not going to sleep on them in any sort of game preparation. My target is still all over them, and you need to stop them first and foremost. Even if they don't have the sack totals coming into the game, they can easily rack up 2, 3, 4 sacks in a flash on you and really ruin your offensive game plan.
And I know, I think when you start looking at the tape a little bit of last week, what's your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers getting rid of the football, seeing the guys open, and those types of things?
Well, it seemed like the script in the first quarter was very decisive, and it seemed like those opening drives, they really know where to go with the football, and they have some design plays and a lot of plays that played off of one another that I really liked. And then as we got into the second quarter and as the game started to take shape, you really lost that chemistry and that decisiveness. So I was really interested to see what his play calling was going to be on first down with a lead, and I was happy that he relied on the run game when he had that 14 and 21-point lead in the first and the second quarter, especially on first and 10. To have the balance in the run game will obviously open up everything in the pass game, and I think if you get this offensive line moving forward and firing off the ball and establishing the run game and your attitude and your physicality early on, I think that's going to alleviate the pressure of the entire offense and Aaron Rodgers first and foremost.
Yeah, Ben, I saw Dean Lowry a couple times. They tried to get him on a bootleg and a fake. He did not buy it and kept his leverage. He's the one guy that people looked at when Mike Daniels left, say, why would they get rid of Mike Daniels? This guy, you know, hasn't been around long enough, but he had a pretty good game.
Yeah, I thought he played really well, and you know a Gary Kubiak style of offense. They're going to work in the outside zone and then the play action move off of it. That's a staple concept, and I tagged about 3 plays in my film article of Dean Lowry not getting sacks but hurrying the quarterback off of those boots and staying home in containment on the backside and really rushing the throws of Kirk Cousins and hurrying the process. And even on that game-winning and the game-sealing interception from Kevin King, that was Dean Lowry hurrying Kirk Cousins, making him throw off his back foot, making him throw just a count prematurely, and that allowed Kevin King to attack that ball in the air because it didn't have a whole lot on it. So he's just one of those players that he's not the sexiest player. He's not the flashiest player. He's not going to rack up 10-plus sacks or all these TFLs, but he does his job in the limited duties that he plays. He's only going to be about a 20 to 30 snap guy because he's primarily a base personnel member. But when he comes into the game, you get really good effort, you get high-intensity play, and you get a guy that understands his assignments. And I think that really does a lot for your entire defense collectively.
Let's talk about Joe Flacco quickly. Earlier in the week, we had a writer on that comes on our show all the time, Rob Reichel, who writes for Forbes magazine and Connolly Media. And he made the comparison to Kirk Cousins. As far as maybe, you know, Joe Flacco maybe isn't even on Kirk Cousins' level, and if he is, it's relatively close. How would you sort Flacco versus Cousins versus other quarterbacks in the league right now?
Well, they're both kind of pocket-passing presence in the offense. They want to distribute from the pocket first and foremost. I think Kirk Cousins has a little bit more athleticism and willingness to break the pocket. I think Flacco wants to be that prototypical statue and kind of point and shoot from the top of the pocket and use that big arm of his. And then when things break down, he's willing to kind of just eat that play and live to play another down. So I think you know where Joe Flacco is going to be in the pocket, and I think that makes it just a little bit easier to attack because they're not going to get him on the move like the play-action boot concepts up in Minnesota, and he doesn't have the mobility or the athleticism or even like a Mitch Trubisky from week one. You know exactly where Joe Flacco wants to play from. So when you're scheming up a defensive game plan, it makes it much easier because he probably isn't going to be on the move a whole lot.
So what should we be looking for in this game for the Green Bay Packers to get a win, Ben?
Well, I think Green Bay is a better football team than the Denver Broncos right now. They're in a bit of rebuilding mode and trying to figure out some of their cornerstone pieces at offensive line, who the playmakers are, who's the quarterback of the future, whether it's Joe Flacco or Drew Locke. These are the trap games, though, that you're going to come in contact with every couple weeks in the NFL when you're better than the other football team, but you have to beat the teams you're better than. And do not let these lesser teams sneak up on you or hang late into a ball game and steal a victory. I want to see them execute a clean game plan, run the football, let's limit the penalties. And on defense, I'm not so concerned about getting after the quarterback and turnovers. I think that stuff's going to happen. I want to see the discipline. I want to see everybody understand their assignments. Let's not get confused with misdirection and double moves. And first and foremost, let's tackle the ball carrier. They do have some elusive ball carriers and Phillip Lindsay and Royce Freeman from Oregon 2 years ago. So they have some guys that if we're not on our P's and Q's tackling, which really kind of bit us last week, we played pretty well on a down-to-down basis. It was just those couple explosive plays, and they were really explosive plays. The 75-yard touchdown from Dalvin Cook, the 30-yard play from Thielen. BB ran for 60 yards. Obviously, Stephon Diggs stole that one from Jair Alexander for 40 yards. So I just like to see them limit the big plays, limit the penalties, and tackle, 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 because that's where a lot of the big plays happen in the NFL.
Go follow along his film breakdowns at BenFennel_NFL on Twitter right now, and he breaks down film for the Green Bay Packers. He joins us here on Fridays at 2:48 on a Football Friday. Ben, Elgton Jenkins possibly getting his first start this week against that Denver Broncos team with Lane Taylor not participating this week. Mixing in the game last week and what you saw, what did you see from 74, the second-round pick, giving people confidence that he's able to take that next step?
Yeah, I mean, the coaching staff had a calculated game plan in working him into the lineup.
Coming up today at 2 on the Wendy.
Go ahead, buddy.
Go ahead, Ben.
Oh, sorry about that, guys. No, but it was a calculated plan by the coaching staff. When I watched it on tape and I saw him in the game there, I wasn't sure if it was an injury or if Lane Taylor's shoe fell off. But when I saw Elgton Jenkins in the lineup on the third and the fourth series, and then again on the 10th and the 11th series, that told me they had a game plan to get him snaps and to get him experience. And I really like his play in the run game. He's a physical player. He's a balanced player. And on that touchdown run by Aaron Jones on the goal line, he knocked Linval Joseph into the end zone there. I really love the way he fires off low with his hands inside and drives his legs. I'm thinking if Lane Taylor doesn't suit up on Sunday, that may be the last time we see Lane Taylor at the left guard position. This is a great opportunity for the young Elgton Jenkins to kind of solidify his spot in this offense, and let's see how he does starting a game and playing on a drive-to-drive, down-to-down basis the offense. But this could be the last time we see 65 there in that left guard.
But would you have started him for the first time against this defense? I mean, couldn't you have waited to a lesser defense to give him his first start versus this front seven?
Well, I think every front is going to have some imposing figures on a week-to-week basis. So if you look at week one against Chicago and Akeem Hicks and Roquan Smith and Khalil Mack, well, it doesn't look like a good matchup. And last week you had some big nose tackles and Linval Joseph and Everson Griffin on the outside and Danielle Hunter. And then this week you have Denver, Von Miller, and Bradley Chubb. Every team's got some dudes in the front seven.
Yeah, you don't want him on Fletcher Cox either.
Exactly. Whether it's Fletcher Cox or the world,
you don't want him on
in a couple days right after that. And he's a grown man, let me tell you. I think Fletcher Cox is the closest thing this league has seen to a Reggie White style of player. And I have
amazing,
the privilege to work in the same building as him with the Philadelphia Eagles. This guy has unexplainable strength, and all I can call it is grown man strength.
Yes,
he has
such
strong upper body, and that's how Reggie was. He had some unbelievable strength and power to him. It was just unexplainable, whether you want to call it grown man strength, southern strength, one of those kind of words.
Let me just say this,
Ben.
We can't
say the word. We know the word.
Ben,
it's
most definitely southern strength, Ben, if it ain't that at all.
We know the word. We know
you got Leroy and I here. We both got that grown man southern strength.
Right.
We ain't lift not one weight in our life.
Never seen a weight room.
Ben, appreciate it, man. Where you?
Couldn't afford it.
Heck, you saw one good game last week with USC and BYU. Going to be a good one between the Packers and Broncos this weekend. Looking forward to it.
Always a pleasure chatting with you guys.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Ben Fennel, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Awesome, dude.
Love that guy.
Great breakdown. Great football breakdown. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. Cubs leading right now 1-0 there, playing against the St. Louis Cardinals. They couldn't help. Couldn't do it last night. I for some reason, I found myself cheering for the Cubs, and of course, the one night that possibly happens, they can't get it done.
Were you
after
cheering because you had money on them?
Well, that was part of the reason why I got a plus 500 on the money line late in the game.
I figured.
But because if you come into today's game two back with nine to play, it feels a lot closer than three back with nine to play. And that's where you're at right now, trailing the St. Louis Cardinals three games in the NL Central before the Brewers take on the Pirates tonight at Miller Park. Stevie, people are going to be watching the Packer game on Sunday, yes, but the place to do it and also check out a little bit of the Brewer game would be where?
There's only one place to go to watch any sporting event, and that's the Mecca Sports Bar and Grill. Mm-hmm. Come on Sunday for the football experience hosted by yours truly. We'll have trivia throughout the game. Prizes courtesy of Miller Lite for the trivia. Halftime and end of game prizes courtesy of Waukesha Sports Cards this week. A Kenny Clark signed mini helmet and a Blake Martinez signed pick. Again, thanks to our guys over there at Rob and Waukesha Sports Cards. Does a great job. Don't forget, too, all the seating options that you have. You have the luxury boxes on the third level. You have the outdoor patio on the third level. You have the second level, which is the mezzanine seating, which I think is the best in the place, looking with nothing in front of you other than a wall full of TVs. The centerpiece, a 42-foot-wide, ultra-high-definition screen surrounded by nine big-screen TVs with the NFL Sunday Ticket going. Just beautiful. And then on the first level, you got the bar, more booths, more tables all around, plus outdoor seating area on the first floor, too. Just can't beat it. Bar on the first level, bar on the third level, first come, first serve there. You can reserve your seats ahead of time by simply calling the Mecca Sports Bar and Grill. You can reserve your luxury box. You know, put six, seven, eight people in those, get some of your buddies together, and you can literally sit there all day. You can watch the whole slate of NFL games if you want. You don't have to get up and move or anything of the sort. Doors open at 10 a.m. If you're not reserving seats, you want to get there early and get your seats, feel free to do that. 10 a.m. the doors will open. The food, awesome food. Menu created by a team of talented chefs that elevate sports bar fare to a whole new level. There's no place like it in the state. It's unbelievable. Located in the new Fiserv Forum Entertainment District, they recreated the live in-game experience with a state-of-art audio-visual equipment to make you feel like you are there. Located in the Deer District across from Fiserv Forum, go to themecca.com. themecca.com. We'll see you on Sunday.
Is the trap on for the Green Bay Packers, Wendy's Big Show?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.